Hi everyone, this is MTI and I'm doing commentary for my speedrun of Rygar on the NES. Hopefully you've got your copy of the run up but have not started playing it yet. If you have, you're an idiot, stop and scroll it back to zero. Okay, on my mark we're going to press play together and that should sync up this commentary to the run itself. Press play in 3, 2, 1, mark! Title screen. Okay, we should be all synced up now. And in a few seconds, the run itself will begin. And there it goes. Cool. Now, this first initial sequence here plays out pretty much the same way every time. I don't exactly know what the randomization algorithm is, but it's pretty clearly not on a frame-by-frame basis, because like I said, I can play this first section the same way every single time, and as long as I take approximately the same actions, it will play itself out the same way. So I can theoretically kind of do that part with my eyes shut. Okay, section two here. This is where I kind of break the pattern for the first time. I get hit right there inexplicably. And I attempt to jump off the enemies here and kind of screw it up. I'm not exactly sure how I managed to kick off the wall there, but I did, which is good. I make a nice little sequence break there, making that huge jump. Now, these enemies here, these chicken-type things I'm killing, they give me the best amount of tone and last at this point. Tone and last are kind of your statistics in this game. Tone is a measure of your attack power, and last is a measure of your defense. The game is kind of RPG-like in that respect, except that instead of discrete levels where your attack power and defense go up, they just kind of always continually increase with each enemy you kill. And I'm killing the turtles because they go down in one hit, and even though they don't give me any tone or last, what I'm looking for are mind points, which I just collected one right there. Mind points basically allow you to cast spells. There are three of them in the game. One is called Power Up. It takes three mind points, and I just grabbed my third one right there. Power Up is kind of misleading name-wise. It's not what you think. It's actually a range increase. And then you also have Attack and Assail, which costs 5 mind points and is kind of a full screen attack for a little bit. And Recover, which takes all 7 of your mind points, and it recovers your health fully. Those red and white dots at the top right of the screen, by the way, are my health. As you can see, I have 2 out of 3 life points full right now. I'm going for the grappling hook right now. This is the first of a total of 6 treasures that you need throughout the game. And I grab the hook and go out there. I should point out at this point that the only other real reference that I could use for good times was the Twin Galaxies time, which was something like 34, 40-something all told. And there's a topic there that had kind of the breakdowns of the times for the critical items. At this point, I'm already about 25 seconds ahead of that time, and I really never look back from here. Now we're going to Aruga's Forest to get the second of the 5 items. I can't use those. I have to go around here. I can't just cross on those things because I don't have the item for that yet. I need the pulley for that, which is actually what I'm going to get right now. These overhead sections here have sort of wacky hit detection. As you can see, I can jump in the air and kind of hit that guy, even though I'm really not on the same vertical plane as him. Okay, these guys here I just kind of hit to get out of my way, because the tone-last ratio here isn't really all that good. So I basically just hit them to kind of get them behind me and then run like heck. Or there you can see I actually kill them. Grappling hook up there because it's a little quicker. Jump over that door because it's pretty useless. Head down here. And again, I just kind of keep running here. This is thankfully a pretty simple area. These bats kind of follow you, and there's another mind point. Basically, I need a total of 8 mind points through the whole game. 3 for the power-up, and 5 for attack and assail, which I wind up using on Lygar, who is the final boss of the game. A little bit about the plot of Rygar. You play as Rygar. Cool, huh? Yeah, it doesn't look like you should be able to make those jumps, but you can. Anyway, Rygar, yes, plot. You are Rygar. You are a warrior from the land of Argus. And in another land, Argul, which is actually where you are in this game, the evil Lygar has taken over and he's closed the door of peace and basically just caused all sorts of bad stuff to happen. And so you have been revived from the dead to defeat Lygar and reopen the door of peace. Simple enough. And this is an area where you actually need the grappling hook to progress. There are points where you actually have to grapple up into the trees. There are no ropes here or anything. And continuing on here, these caterpillars, I tend to just glitch off the screen like that. If you're familiar with the scrolling the red devil off the screen trick in Ghosts and Goblins, it works pretty similarly to that. You just kind of get them on the very edge of the screen and come back and they'll be gone. See, there's a point where I need the grappling hook. And jumping over the useless door there. And kind of continuing on. Again, more caterpillars. Very annoying to actually fight the normal way. So I just take a second and scroll them off the screen and get them out of my hair for good. And again, just kind of outrunning these guys, hitting them so they will get out of my way. And this is just a sequence of a bunch of jumps. That's another jump. It doesn't look like you should be able to make it, but you can. And here we have our first boss, Iruga. Now, the one complete FAQ on GameFAQs recommends you have at least 5 or even 6 life units for this. When your last reaches certain levels, you gain an extra life unit. So the number of life units, in the absence of checking your status screen every 3 seconds, it's a pretty good way to kind of see roughly where you're at experience-wise. And I get hit there, and I now have no more life. One more hit kills me. You'll note that I'm still staying aggressive and pretty much sticking to my initial game plan here. There's a couple reasons for this. One is just confidence that I'm not going to get hit again. And the second reason is, quite honestly, this is still fairly early in the run. So if I do screw it up, well, no big deal. I just reset and try the whole thing again. And I win. And I get the pulley, so I can now use those ropes overhead in these overhead sections here. And now I take a quick detour to get my life back because I don't want to die. I had sent this run into Twin Galaxies as well as to Speed Demos Archive, and one of the rules for Twin Galaxies runs of this game is that you cannot die. So that's why I took a little detour there. Although I probably would have done that anyway, even if I hadn't been submitting the run to Twin Galaxies. All right, so we're off to the next section now, which is the Cave of Sagila. And these are kind of annoying. It's sort of random when Rygar just decides he wants to attach the pulley to it. And so I'm on my way to the left here. Just kind of wandering about the overworld. Well, not really wandering about. I know where I'm going, obviously. And I'm just kind of jumping and shooting my weapon at times, just sort of in time to the music. This is a bit of a trek here. One of the good things about Rygar is that there's some exploration involved, but really, generally, there isn't so much that you should get hopelessly lost for hours on end. I'll talk a bit more. There's a weird graphical glitch where Rygar attaches way lower than it looks like he should be able to. But it all works out for me in the end, obviously. Okay, continuing on to the left here. And this is the way to Sagila the Spider, who is the next boss. And this is actually probably the worst executed section of the run here. I don't do very well at all, and it actually leads to a critical decision I have to make. Jump up there. I get hit again, and I'll get hit a couple more times before this is done. And you just noticed a bit of lag there. Rygar is a very lag-tastic game. When the screen overloads at kind of a low limit of enemies, and so you get lots and lots of lag at points. I have no idea why I got hit there. But as you can see, I have no more health, and again, one more hit will kill me. This is bad in a speedrun. More lag there. and there's the door to Sagila's cave proper. And eventually I am faced with a decision here, in that I have to basically decide whether to spend all my mind points and use recover, or just kind of hope for the best, hope I eventually get a life potion. And as you can see, I elect to use recover and just kind of hope I can make up the mind points. These guys, for this point in the game, give great tone and last, so I'm going to be trying to kill them whenever I see them, those bird things there. Random fun fact about this area, when I was very young, probably like 6 or 7 years old, and my whole family and I, my parents and I, we would sit down together, and we would kind of play games. We got very, very lost in this section, which, looking back on it now, amuses me highly, because this first cave here is just a straight shot to the right, and you're out. See? I have no idea how we got so lost there, but we did. So, this is basically just like the first area, and the enemies are now very weak. I can kill them in one or at most two hits. I'm, again, killing them trying to essentially make up the mind points that I had to use to recover. Which is actually not as critical as it looks, because the mind point drops, they're not really, you can't really manipulate them on a frame-by-frame basis. If you watch the, if you're familiar with tool-assisted runs at all that use, you know, slowdown and save states and that sort of thing, those guys that do that type of thing, they, you know, looked at the memory addresses and they found that you can't really manipulate drop after drop after drop. It just kind of seems to be random. After a certain number of enemies kills, you'll get a drop of some kind. I forget what the exact number is. I believe it's somewhere in like every 8 to 10 enemies or so. These fireballs that are popping up out of the pits here, they're kind of random. Sometimes they pop out of pits, sometimes not. So I kind of have to take it slow on a couple of these. Some of these pits here. Just kind of have to wait and see if they'll pop up or not. You probably notice that now 2 or 3 potions have dropped in a row, and this is where a tool-assisted, like, clairvoyance would have come in handy. Had I known that, I wouldn't have used the mind points to recover. And this is the boss. You'll note he kind of hovers above you, and when you hit him, he goes in the opposite direction, which leads to this. I duck down, and I just kind of bounce him back and forth over my head until he dies. I'm still a little weaker than facts recommend here, although not by much. Generally, they recommend 6 life units there. And as you can see, I get the 6th one by killing him. Alright, we have the crossbow now, which lets us make ropes between pillars. And from here, the game opens up a little bit. You can go to any of the last 3 places before the last level. You can go to Durago's Palace, which I'm going to here. See, there's the crossbow use. And here's a neat little jump I pull off. You can go to Durago's Palace, you can go to the Tower of Garba, or you can go to Lapis. And I elect to follow the kind of recommended sequence here, and just go to Durago's Palace. It's quickest, it's easiest. And so I make that decision. You'll note the kind of 4 notes of doom music here. I actually covered this for a Dwelling of Duels entry. You're probably wondering how you cover a song that has all of 4 notes. And the answer is by varying the drum patterns in it. Those kind of turtley things give really good tone and last, but they kind of take a while to kill at the same time. So if I see places basically where I think I can kill them easily, I'll go for it. But if not, I just kind of dodge them for now. Some pillars here, like here, these guys here, they're just kind of rushing at me, and so I kill them and get a bunch of tone and last. Something I haven't talked about to this point is that, well, I mentioned it briefly, but the hit detection in these overhead areas is kind of wacky. You noticed I kind of hit that turtley dude through the wall. These guys I like to just dodge because I'm not dealing with those guys. And the other more turtle-like things that are popping up. But yes, the hit detection in these areas is really wacky. You're essentially invincible while you're jumping in the air. And in addition to that, you can hit enemies that are on the same plane as your weapon even while you're in the air. And I totally abuse this in a little bit. Kill that guy because he's in the wall. Might as well get the tone and last from it. These guys are pretty easy, and they give good tone and last, so. Jumping up here. And here we have our next boss fight, Durago. And as you can see, I am nowhere near being on the same plane as him, yet I can jump up and hit him with my weapon anyway. This is one of the longer boss fights, because I'm fairly weak for this area. Ideally, I'd be jumping and hitting him twice with every swing, but because I move a little faster than he does, it's difficult to really sync that up properly. But I don't get hit here at all. Again, wacky collision detection, hit detection abuse here on my part. And this is really the recommended way for dealing with him. This is just how you do it. Facts and things like that recommend this. It does take a while, as I said, but he's really, really easy if you just kind of keep up this attack pattern. And there's my seventh life unit. And here I get the God's Coat of Arms, which enables me to stop in certain places, and I can both recover my health and get a life potion, which can recover my health again at any point, which is obviously pretty useful. From here, we're proceeding onward to Lapis. And the we're going for Endora's armor now, which sounds pretty neat. And theoretically, what it's supposed to do is reduce the damage you take, but I just don't see that effect, honestly, at all. So I'm gonna pull you across here, and there the sprite decides to behave and actually look right, as opposed to like 2 feet below the pulley line. And again, kind of wandering about. Well, again, not really wandering. Obviously, I know where I'm going. I'm speed running the thing. And again, I'm just kind of jumping over those things because I don't feel like moving left or right, nor do I want to risk falling into the water and dying and ending my run. Obviously, that would be bad. I almost go the wrong way there. It's kind of a sign of things to come, quite honestly. And you go down here. There's a life potion, so I grab it. That's about the sixth one in a row now or so. And there is the gateway to Lapis. And I kill a few more turtles trying to get more mind points. And we're in another kind of intermediate area here. These enemies are now going down much more easily than they did in the first intermediate area. By the way, those flying things are dragons, according to the game manual and mythology. I really don't see it either. Maybe they're some kind of Eastern world dragons, because they're certainly not what I think of when I think dragon. Okay, anyway, we're in Lapis, and we're now about to get thrown jarringly out of kind of the mythological world that the game has created to this point. But first, I'm going to be a goofball and forget where I am and grapple down instead of up, and then grapple directly into a door, which costs me more time. Okay. Those are robots. I have no idea how these dudes fit in with the rest of the game, world creation-wise, but whatever. Incidentally, there's my eighth life point now. The good thing about the robots is that they give pretty good tone and last. A lot of facts for the game, if you're playing through it for the first time, will actually recommend basically farming these robots until you can kill them in one hit. But there are better places for us to do that, so the tone and last that they give, it's good enough that I'll fight them when I see them generally, but I'm not gonna farm at this point. Continuing on, this is basically a one-way area. Thankfully, there's no real complex navigation or anything like that. Again, killing another robot. That robot just kind of appeared out of nowhere. That was interesting. And I start to fight the robot there and decide I want nothing of being surrounded by three of them. One more robot here. And again, another one just kind of appears out of nowhere. That one I decide I don't want to deal with. I plan to come that close to falling off the ledge there, really, I swear. Okay, moving on, still trying to kill enemies, still trying to get mind points. Moving on to the boss. And I get hit there again. I believe that was the first time I took damage since I used Recover. So again, what can I say? I'm not psychic. Here's the boss of this area, Balzar. There's a glitch. There are actually a couple glitches in this battle, I should say. You can grapple down off the screen and back up, and he'll be about an inch lower than he was, which enables you to just stand on the bottom there and just kind of jump up and hit him. If I remember correctly, Twin Galaxies prohibited that glitch, which is why I didn't use it. The second glitch is you can get his fireballs to scroll kind of downward. And if you jump up at exactly the wrong time, they will kind of cross from the bottom of the screen to the top and somehow kill you instantly, which is not very good. I grabbed the Endora's armor there, which is useless except for game checking to see if you have all the items or not. From here, we are moving on to the Tower of Garba, which is actually way the heck back in kind of the starting area. While I'm making my way back there, I want to point out kind of a random fun fact about this game. This game's sequence-breaking checks are actually better and more robust than those of the classic Nintendo 64 game Ocarina of Time. For those of you who don't extensively study Ocarina of Time and all the tricks and the glitches that the high-level players of that game use, you probably know that in the second half of the game you have to go through, I believe it's five temples, to collect medallions to open the way to Ganon's Tower. However, the game actually, when checking to see if it wants to open Ganon's Tower for you, it actually only checks to make sure you have the last two medals. The reason for this is because the game kind of assumes that you have the first three when you go for the last two. And unfortunately, Rygar, a game which is a good 10 years older than Ocarina of Time, apparently Rygar's programmers were smarter than Ocarina of Time's. Theoretically, over the course of normal gameplay, you should require the grappling hook before you get the pulley, and you should require the pulley before you get the crossbow, and you should require the crossbow before you have any of the last three items. And so there's really no need for the game to explicitly check for those items, but it actually does anyway. Hopefully, you kind of understood what I was saying there. Basically, Rygar programming good in that one and only instance, Ocarina of Time programming bad. Now I'm going to do a little bit of experience farming. These snails act like Aruga, except that they give much, much more last, and especially much, much more tone. Which is why I'm fighting this snail here. I could theoretically just skip him, but I'm going to not only kill him, I'm going to return to that screen and for. No, excuse me. For about the next minute and a half, I'm going to do nothing except fight these snails. This is. And again, I get hit there. Now, you European gamers out there are probably wondering what he has a ninth life unit. What? How the heck did he do that? And the answer is essentially that I am playing the North American NTSC version of the game. There are a couple major differences between the NTSC version, at least the North American NTSC version, and the European PAL version of this game. And the main one is the tone and last limits. In the North American version, your tone and last can each go up to, I believe it's 4,095. which will give you a full 12 life units, two rows of six. And the PAL version of the game is much, much harder in this respect because the maximum is only 1023 for Tone and Last. And additionally, how the life points are actually distributed within that 1023 varies between them. In the North American version, 1023 is actually good enough for 9 life units. But in the PAL version, that gets you a maximum of 8 units. So you can build up to much, much stronger levels in the North American version. This guy acts like Sagila the Spider, but unfortunately he doesn't hover around, so I have to fight him kind of the normal way. Yes, NTSC versus PAL. I'll get back to that once I beat this boss here. This is Death Pygor, and this is really a dream fight for me. He never even fires a shot at me before I kill him. That battle is usually much, much harder for me. I usually actually wind up having to use my potion there. And that's the Pegasus Flute. That's the final item I need to progress to the last level of the game. As I said, the PAL version is much harder than the NTSC version of this game. The other major difference in the two is that in the PAL version, Rygar jumps higher and he jumps farther. I don't know if this is just a side effect of the conversion to PAL, but it makes a couple shortcuts and things possible that are not possible in the North American version. But quite honestly, in my opinion, that's more than offset by the much reduced strength caps in the PAL version. Even though I don't hit the NTSC level caps, I get about half as strong as I could be overall. I still get far stronger than it's even possible to get in the PAL version, as you'll see in the final battle when I switch to attack and assail. And you can quickly see my stats there. Okay, now it looks like we're heading back to the Forest of Aruga, but we're actually, our goal here is the area immediately before it. We're going to go about halfway through it, and these guys now go down in one hit. So anything that gets close to me, I just kill it. More life is always good, especially since everything in the game now is, well, not everything in the game. But everything in the last area is going to take off a ton of life, especially Lygar, the final boss. You jump over here, and now I go up, up, up the mountain ahead. Wait, no, that's wrong. I do go up, up, up this tower here. These bats are kind of annoying. I don't know why I didn't just grapple away from that one, but whatever. No bats here. I believe grappling there is quicker than jumping up that little platform there. And I'm now at the top of the tower, and I play the Pegasus Flute. Neat. And this is the final level of the game here, Lygar's Castle. And it starts off with me running to the right about four screens. I don't know if this was just trying to build tension on the part of the game designers or what, but note about the Pegasus Flute, you can theoretically go get it as soon as you acquire the crossbow, but A, it's much harder, and B, even if you pull this off, the game will not let you actually play it until you get the other two items, the coat of arms and the Endora's armor. And again, according to the tool-assisted guys anyway, the game does actually check to make sure you have the grappling hook, pulley, and crossbow as well before letting you actually play the Pegasus Flute. We're running up here, getting ready to enter the castle proper. And you'll note that the enemies here are kind of shadowed versions of enemies you fought before. And two of them actually have the same stats, give up the same tone and last as enemies you fought before. Like these guys here. Those guys are actually, they behave kind of like the shadowy Ent things, or the Ent things from Drago's Palace. Going down there leads to a potion, but I don't need it at this point because I had a great fight with Death Pygor. And we continue on here. From here on out, I believe, is basically one way. So, again, no real navigation difficulties. There's another one of the guys from Drago's Palace. And I go down here. and to the left, and there's some random pillars here. Kind of aesthetically jarring from the rest of the level. I don't know. Ligar needs a new interior decorator, I suppose. Anyway, continuing up here, there's another enemy. Another one of those things. And eventually, you will come upon actually a Shadow Durago, who gives the same amount of experience as a regular, as the regular Durago, the boss Durago. There he is. Which is kind of neat if you haven't built up. And here we are at the final boss. I start off by using my attack and assail. There's my final stats to weaken away most of his health. I believe I get 10 hits out of the attack and assail before it runs out, and I have to run up to him to deliver the final 6 or so hits. And I get hit there, but it doesn't matter because he's dead. Hooray, ending. One last fun fact about this game. The game doesn't bother to reload the color palette for the ending. What this means is if you end the fight with attack and assail, as opposed to starting it as I did, sometimes the game will freeze on a frame where it flashes the attack and assail. And so you'll wind up with a black and white ending, or in the worst case, actually no ending screen at all if you happen to hit it on exactly the wrong frame. Anyway, here's the ending. You get a cute little bird, rainbow, waterfall, clouds. You've, restored peace to the world. Hooray for you. And we find out that the door of peace was opened, and peace did again come to Argul. People regained their smiling faces. The warrior who finished his fight returned to Argus. The warrior of Argus, you are really a true hero. End. I guess that's all one long run-on sentence or something? I don't know. Where's the punctuation, man? Anyway, this concludes my commentary on my speed run of Rygar. My name is MTI, and hopefully you enjoyed listening to the commentary. Hopefully I didn't repeat myself too much from my text commentary. I will see you next time. Goodbye.